Thank you, Mark. Good morning again, everyone. A great time to come together and talk about prayer. And I want to thank you, Anne, for your prayers this morning. I was just surprised this morning to find that news of Egypt and hear what's happening with President Mubarak and everything there. It's astounding. And thank you for again reminding us in prayer about the great answers to prayer we've had. For those of you who missed last week, we had giving to our building program this month of $85,000, which took us up to the $300,000 we need to begin building. Now, when you hear prayers like that, it's sometimes it's easy to know how to pray, isn't it? Thank you, God. Please help God. Please give direction to our government. All those sorts of, we hear the floods in Queensland, and we know how to pray in one sense. But sometimes it's a bit harder. There was a man running through the woods being chased by two big bears. And he was running for his life. These bears were very hungry. And he trips over, falls over, can't get up, twists his ankle, and these bears are cowering over the top of him, dripping saliva and ready to eat him. And so the man prays, God, please, if you can, make these bears Christians. There's a man struggling with how to pray. And within a moment, the bears stopped growling and they put their paws together. And the guy's lying there saying, oh, thank you God, you made them Christians. And one of them starts to speak and to pray. And the man listens to this amazing miracle of God, and the bear prays, for what we are about to receive, may the world make us truly thankful. Sometimes it's hard to know how to pray, depending on the circumstances. Last week we talked about why we pray. We talked about the fact that we can pray, thanks Geoff, we can pray because we can expect God to answer. We can pray because we can trust God's answers, and we pray because God calls us to pray as part of our everyday life as Christians in communicating with Him. So today we're talking about how to pray. And since prayer is talking to God, well, I think prayer is actually like talking to any of your friends, except you're talking to the crowd of the universe. And it depends on two very important things that we see in these passages. It depends on two things. When you talk to anyone, it depends on your relationship that you have with them, and it depends on the attitude you have to them. Thanks, Geoff. So it's the same when we pray to God. It depends on the relationship we have with God and the attitude we have towards God. So you've got a sermon outline there on the back of the order of service there. That's what we're talking about today. Take that up if it's helpful. We're talking about our relationship with God and our attitude towards God. So let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Please have it open in front of you, and that will help to follow some of the other verses we're looking at. Let's talk about the relationship that we have with God. The first thing Jesus teaches his disciples about prayer is that it is about a personal relationship. Have a look at verse 2. When the disciples ask Jesus to teach them to pray, the first words he teaches them is, the first word is, Father. First word is Father. He says, talking to God is about a personal relationship with Him. We are talking to Him as a father. We don't come to God in prayer as strangers. We come to someone who knows us better than we know ourselves. We don't have to hide anything from Him because there are no secrets with God, because He is our Heavenly Father. And because He is our Heavenly Father, we have no need to be afraid of Him, afraid of coming to Him with things. We can ask Him anything. We can confess anything. We can praise Him at any time. We can bring everything to God in prayer because we have a personal relationship with Him. Jesus' instructions to his disciples is, speak to God like this, Father. The second thing about our relationship with God is that it is a dependent relationship. God is our Father who we depend upon. Not only does God know what we really need, He's the only one who can provide all the things that we need. He's the only one able to provide. So when we pray, hallowed be your name, we are praying and saying that God's name is to be honoured above all other names because He is in control of all things. He's sovereign over all. He's in control over all. He can be completely depended upon. So His name is hallowed for that. And so when we come to verse 3, we can come to Him and ask for our daily bread. And we get to verse 4, we can also come to Him and ask for forgiveness and for protection from evil. Because he's the only one who can provide those things. He's the only one that can guarantee the provision of our daily bread. He's the only one that can forgive sin. He's the only one that is really able to protect us from evil. So we are completely dependent on God. You might say, thank God we are in a personal relationship with him, because we need that stuff. We need our daily bread. We need protection from evil. We need forgiveness. We can come to God and depend on him for everything. Now, those things may be fairly obvious. Personal relationship, dependent relationship. The next one, maybe not so obvious, and I think that's why Jesus expands on it in his teaching in Luke 11. We are to have a confident relationship with God. What does that mean? What does it mean to have a confident relationship with God? We can be confident approaching God because he is the Lord over all and he is our Father. Because of those two things, we can be confident coming to him. Have a look at the story that Jesus tells in verses 5 to 8. Thanks, Geoff. Now, I want you to imagine you're in first century Palestine. In first century Palestine, your friends come to visit you in the middle of the night, say 12 o'clock, and you're bound to provide them with some sort of food, no matter what time they arrive. You must offer them food to eat. You have no food in the house. Coles is shut. Woolworths isn't open. Even Kmart's closed. What do? You've got no food in the house. Bread is fresh baked every day. You've run out of that. You have no choice but to go to your neighbour's house and to ask them for 3 loaves of bread, which is what it'll take to feed this family that's just arrived. Now, your neighbour is asleep. It's the middle of the night. He's in his one-room house. In this one room, he has a big mat on the floor, and there's him and his wife and his children, and around them a few of their animals, and they're all asleep. And you go and knock on his door in the middle of the night, and he's not very happy, is he? He's a very grumpy neighbour. Neighbour says, I don't want to get up. I don't want to wake my wife and my children and my animals. I don't want to unlock all the doors just because you've run out of food. But I will. What does Jesus say? He says, he won't answer your call, your needs, because he's your friend. He'll answer them because you're bold enough to knock. What is Jesus saying? Could you imagine doing that? Could you imagine doing that to your neighbour? Imagine if your neighbour did that to you. I could imagine if my neighbour, say from over the road, came and knocked on my door in the middle of the night. Now, it doesn't matter how much of a friend he might be, I'm going to be grumpy about that. For bread? Coles is open down the road. But because he was confident to do that, I would give it to him, I imagine. I wouldn't say no. I'm up anyway, I might as well. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, be confident to come to God and ask him. You can be confident because God is not like that neighbour. God is very happy to answer the door in the middle of the night. God is very happy to hear your prayers. You are not bothering him. He says even a grumpy neighbour will answer the door and give you what you want because you're confident and bold enough to knock. Of course God will. Of course God will answer you. Be confident. Come to him. Verse 9, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open, even in the middle of the night. Be confident. Now you can look at those verses and think, as long as I'm bold and confident, God will give me whatever I ask for. But it's not true if we look down further. God is our loving Father. God will always give us what is best. That's why, as we talked about last week, we have to trust his answers. We can always come to him confidently, but we do need to trust his answers. Verse 11, ask for a fish, God will not give you a snake. Ask for an egg, God will not give you a scorpion. God will give you what is good for you when you ask. He will not ignore you. Notice it doesn't say there, if you ask for a fish, God will give you a fish. Doesn't actually say that. It doesn't imply that that's it. He says, you ask for a fish, God won't give you a snake. You ask for something good, he won't give you something bad for you. You ask for a fish, he may not give you a fish, but he's not going to give you a scorpion. If you ask for what is good, God will always provide what is best for you. And what's really important about this to understand for us is we may understand that God is our Father, personal relationship, we can depend on him, but are you confident? Do you know that even if you don't think something's important, God thinks it is, if it means anything to you? He wants you to come to him no matter what it is, no matter when. You can be confident that God cares about the things that you pray about. Once we understand that our relationship with God is personal and dependent, and we can be confident with that, that helps us to pray. That helps us in the way and how we pray. The second part of that relationship is our attitude toward God. So let's have a look at that, part two on the sermon outline there. What should be our attitude to God when we pray? And I'd like you to turn back to Matthew chapter 6 with me. Turn back to chapter 6 of Matthew. Two attitudes, or three actually, that Jesus talks about. The first is the attitude of sincerity, sincere prayer, verses 5 and 6. Prayer is between you and God. And whether you're in a church building or a public place or in the privacy of your home, prayer must be sincere. Whether you're reading the Lord's Prayer off a screen or reading a confession or being led in prayer by someone out the front of church, it's still something between you and God that must be sincere. It's often something we do together, but your heart is to be sincere. We must be open and honest with God when we pray. Prayer is not a show. Prayer is between you and God. So if you find it hard to pray through the Lord's Prayer, you feel like you're just saying the same words over and over again, well, let me encourage you to go back to the first part of today's topic. Have a look at your relationship with God. Is it personal? Is it dependent? Is it confident? Then read those words of the Lord's Prayer afresh. Prayer is to be sincere. Secondly, our attitude to God is to be can be simple. Verses 7 to 8. Prayer can be simple. We don't need big words. God doesn't care about big words. He doesn't need us to babble on and on and on with long prayers. Like the pagans in verse 7. They think they'll be heard because of their many words. Let me ask you, are you impressed by people's long prayers? On a 40 degree day with high humidity and... Are you impressed with a preacher who goes on and on for hours and hours with big words and fancy ideas? Does that impress? Why would it impress God? If it doesn't impress us, and I'm guessing it doesn't, why would it impress God? God is impressed with our hearts. Now, if you need to pray for an hour a day or two or three, then you do that. If you get to a 3 minutes of prayer and you find there's nothing else to pray for, then that's it. Don't babble on and on. Now, when I pray, I pray until I've prayed everything that I need to pray. Sometimes it takes 3 minutes, quite honestly. Sometimes it takes half an hour. It's different every day. It's different every moment of the day. We don't need to babble on and on and on. We don't need to impress God. We just need to pray what's sincerely on our heart and bring it to him, whether it takes a minute or an hour. Jesus didn't say, well, here's the Lord's Prayer. I want you to pray that and then sort of just spin it out for about half an hour. He doesn't say that. When you pray, pray this. And there it is. Everything we need to pray for found in the words of the Lord's Prayer. If you ever find yourself lost for words, go back to that. You don't need to babble. God is not impressed by babble. So I'll stop babbling, move on. The final point, and I think one of the most important, and it's implied here, and I think it's implied in all the teaching on prayer in the Bible, and it's something that really struck me as I prepared this sermon. Let's have a look at Luke 11, verse 13. Prayer is about salvation. That's why, if you don't take anything else home today, please take that home. Prayer is about salvation. When you come to God, the attitude that you should have towards God is one that is focused on salvation. The whole purpose of our relationship with God is to be saved, is to be in heaven and live with him forever. Luke 11, verse 13, Jesus said, "If you then..." Oh, thanks, Geoff, just the next screen. "If you then, though you are evil..." That's us, we're evil compared to God. "Though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" He doesn't say, though you are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, So does God know how to give good gifts? He says, no, you're evil, you know how to give good gifts. Your Father in heaven knows how to give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks him. Why does he single out the Holy Spirit there? Because it is the good gift. It is the one gift that matters. Jesus says, here's an amazing promise in this verse, that anyone who asks for God's Holy Spirit will be given. He will come and make his home. That is the one gift we really need, because that is the one gift that guarantees eternal life. And asking God's Holy Spirit to be in our life means that he is with us every moment of every day. We are asking God to be with us all the time. See, we don't want to treat God like Santa Claus. We don't want to come to him once a year, perhaps, with a list of things that we want. Imagine if your closest friend came to you only when they wanted something. Imagine if your son or daughter or parents only ever talked to you if they needed something from you. That wouldn't be a relationship. Wouldn't be much of a relationship. See, having God's Holy Spirit in our life means that he is with us all the time, directing our life, directing our decisions. So prayer can be focused on that. That very one simple, very simple point, that we want God to be involved in our life. Every prayer can be about salvation. Every prayer. If you find you need something, you want to come to God and ask him for something, just ask yourself this question. What does this have to do with my salvation? If it has nothing to do with your salvation, go ahead and ask. It's probably not that important. But it possibly is. It might be important for the other relationships you have. It might be important for your life on this earth and the way you interact with others. Go ahead and ask. God wants you to come and ask. But in the end, it's all about salvation. If salvation isn't at the forefront of our attitude to God, then we will just be praying things to really help ourselves and really indulge ourselves. We don't want that attitude to God. We want to say to God, my salvation and the salvation of people around me, that's the most important thing. So we pray for governments. We pray for God's direction on those governments, because we want to see God bring salvation to those governments and those countries. We pray for the flood victims, because we want to see them out of trouble, but we also want them to know God and to know God's hand in it, because we want them to be saved above all else. When we pray for a new job, we want a new job because we exist in a relationship. When we want to say to God, I want a job because I want to work as you've created me to work, and I want to be in relationship with people so I can share the news with them of Jesus. See, it all comes about salvation. You look at every line in the Lord's Prayer, to our daily bread, the forgiveness of sins, to God's kingdom coming. Jesus is always focusing us on salvation. We can come to God because we have a personal relationship with him. We are dependent on him. We can come to him in confidence about anything. But our prayers must be sincere, even though they can be simple. But over all of that is the need to pray salvation for yourself, for the world, for those around you. That is God's purpose for us. So when we talk to him, doesn't it make sense to talk to him about the one most important thing in his thinking? To pray for salvation. For yours, for those around you. Let me just give you that challenge today as you pray. How is your prayer reflecting salvation? Your salvation. Salvation of those around you. How is your prayer salvation focused?